You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of Benny and the Bets.
What is good, everybody? Welcome in. Benny and the Bets back with you as we head into the month of December. We are, of course, presented by our good friends over at PXG Kansas City, rocking the quarter zip today. Even though it's starting to get a little bit colder, still plenty of time to go ahead and get fitted. My guy, Alex Gold, on the show for the first time, but certainly a longtime friend. Someone that I've had a chance to get to know, even though he's a Kansas City guy. You and I got a chance to like actually know each other way before you even came to Kansas City. It was one of those like weird friendships that once you got here, they're like, oh, great, you're finally back in town. But you and I had a chance to kind of work together for a little bit, do some appearances together, and I'm so thrilled to see your continued success on Cody and Gold on 610 Sports Radio from 10 to 2. Also, make sure you guys are checking out that betting show on 610 Sports Radio as well. You can also hear him on the BetQL network. And am I missing anything? Is there any in that list that you continue to build your resume with?
No, man, I appreciate the shout out there a little bit, and it's great to be on the show. You've obviously been on my show a couple times, so it's good to finally be on yours. And I'm jealous of the logo that you have for the show, and leaning into that is fantastic. So, no, man, it's good. And as you know, like I think when it comes to like, there's a lot of people that are watching and stuff that are passionate about sports betting. But I feel like even though you and I didn't work directly with each other in Kansas City, I mean, you've been all in on sports wagering for a while. I mean, even going back to the fantasy football days with another platform and everything. And it's obviously something I'm passionate about. So I don't want to, you know, tout each other too much here, but I would say in Kansas City sports betting wise, I do want to say, and at least certainly in the media, you and I were kind of first here with really pushing that long before it was legalized.
Yeah, we kind of run this town a little bit. That's okay. I'm willing to go ahead and put that out there. And I would even say to this point, I think from a content perspective, you and I both have been able to fortunately build up our audience fairly organically because it is an area for us that we both love. And, you know, to your credit, not only have you sort of gone full in on the sports betting side, but you've covered the industry locally for the last several years as well and basically took that upon yourself to say, I want to make sure that I'm breaking news when it comes to what's happening locally. You're on board with everything happening around the state of Kansas, including some of the weird language of where some of the external money that might be going towards like taxes and roads and other places, how it could actually be part of a slush fund to get some teams to come over to the Kansas side. So we'll talk about that in a second, but give me your overall perspective on why. It seems like such a fairly innocuous and easy question, but why can't Missouri get its shit together when it comes to finally getting something through, knowing the amount of revenue that is not only being generated by Kansas, but essentially all of its neighbors? It just feels so obvious at this point. Why can't their lawmakers get something through?
Yeah, I hear it all the time. I mean, I'm sure you do as well. It's kind of that million-dollar question, and certainly we're both in the sports world as well. And so majority of people that like sporting events also would like to have some skin in the game, and they're driving across to the state of Kansas, or if there's people on the eastern side of Missouri, they're going right across to Illinois, or they're going up north to Iowa. All of this has been going on for quite some time. It's just gained more attention in our neck of the woods here in Kansas City now that it's such a quick drive over to the state line. And you've seen photos and videos of so many people on a Sunday morning going to a quick trip or pulling off on the end of a highway on ramp or whatever to do it. And, you know, why is it not happening? I mean, politics is the simple word to use. No doubt. And, you know, there's certainly benefits on and cons on each side to it. Obviously, I'm a proponent for sports wagering. I think that's pretty obvious. But I think what you've seen is in Missouri, there has been a push for video lottery terminals, which are these machines that would be inside like rest stops and gas stations. They're illegal. They are legal in Illinois as well. And they do bring in money to the state of Illinois. There's no doubt about that. But those that support video lottery terminals know that in Missouri, frankly, it will not pass without sports wagering. And that's why they continue to attach themselves to the sports wagering bill. Because the simple thing is like, hey, just pass a sports wagering bill by itself and let's worry about, like, I'm not even like totally against VLT. People think I hate VLT. I really don't. It's just what's holding up sports wagering. And so VLT is a separate thing. Let's handle that separately. Unfortunately, politics come into play, and everybody knows, like, hey, if we want VLTs, we know we can hold up sports wagering and maybe get our way. The casinos don't want VLTs. And so there's blame to go all the way around. But ultimately, there's a senator, Denny Hoskins, in Missouri. I think he's kind of proud of himself, frankly. Then he's been the guy that's held it up in the state of Missouri, and it all has to do with the VLTs, his belief that the both should coincide with each other. And that's why nothing's gotten done. And then there wasn't a push here 2 months ago. I was talking to some folks that they were moving forward to get sports wagering on a ballot in Missouri. Let the people decide, right? Unfortunately, talking within the last 2 weeks, it sounds like that is very unlikely, and that's going to stall out. And that has to do with the opposition and the money that would be coming in for these video lottery terminal companies and lobbyists. And frankly, it'd be a very expensive campaign. And we know in California, while it's a completely different climate and there was ballot measures there, these sportsbook operators lost their ass, basically. And I think there's some fear of that. And look, it's not a sure thing it passes. Like, in our world, everybody thinks, oh, it's a no-brainer. There are plenty of people that do not support gambling for a wide variety of reasons. And there's certainly valid concerns, right, with sports betting and just gambling. And so there's the risk of, imagine, Benny, if you go to the ballot and it fails. Well, then there's no way you're getting it through the legislature, because if you're a representative, you're saying, well, hey, the people spoke. They don't even want it. So there's a lot of risk there. Unfortunately, I think it's extremely unlikely it passes in the spring legislature based off of the political climate.
Yeah, and even if it were to pass in the spring, you're still talking about several months for a lot of these books to be able to go and find their prospective partnerships with the different casinos nearby. You need to be able to have some boots on the ground. And that's another element to it as well. I guess where I would go with this next is, obviously no NFL team in St. Louis anymore, but there's still plenty of Missouri-based professional teams, many of which have already partnered up with sports books that ironically are not available in the state that they currently reside. Right. The Chiefs, for example, they've partnered with GameSense. They partnered with BetMGM. There's promotion within the actual stadium at GEHA Field, which I still don't love the sound.
It's Arrowhead. You know?
It's Arrowhead. Okay. So for purposes of that, there's still signage at Arrowhead for a sports book that isn't even available in the actual stadium itself. How relevant can these teams be, knowing what's available, knowing the stake that they could have, where we're now having conversations about the Chiefs and the Royals considering a move towards the other side of state line, not necessarily because of the legalization of sports betting, but knowing that it could be another revenue generator, and that is something that ownership desperately cares about.
Well, we know you alluded to it. I mean, all the pro teams in Missouri, whether we're talking on the Kansas City side of the state with the Royals and obviously the Chiefs, all of them go to the Blues on the eastern side of the state. Every pro team is part of this, Missouri Sports Coalition that is in support. And the Cardinals really actually spearheaded this. I mean, they've been more outspoken than, the Royals and Chiefs are worried about the stadium mess right now, but they are in support of sports wagering. But St. Louis has been extremely outspoken, the Cardinals have, about being pro sports wagering and the revenue model or stream that could bring to the Cardinals. We know baseball in particular, it could be beneficial given the fact that there's no cap and you're always looking for additional revenue streams to better your ball club as well. And so, yeah, all the pro teams and their influence, they want it. And that was who was kind of pushing for the ballot initiative. And ultimately, like I said, I think it's extremely unlikely that happens. I think sometimes it does probably get overblown of the impact that sports wagering has on the stadium conversation, though, with the Royals and Chiefs, and like, oh, they're going to go to Kansas because they want the legal sports wagering. Like you said it, they're already getting some of that money from these partners, even though it's not legalized. Now, it's not the same thing of having a sports book right in the parking lot, which we know that exists out in, I was just in Phoenix for the Super Bowl, and right there, there's a beautiful little BetMGM sports book. I mean, there's other stadiums. Certainly on the NBA side, there's a ton of them where the sportsbook
Wrigley
is.
Wrigley Field just added a DraftKings sportsbook by the stadium. It's supposed to be like brand new state of the art, and they're certainly not the only ones.
Yeah, no question. And so as far as the actual dollars, I mean, the Kansas bill, yes, did put aside this attract to pro sports team to Kansas fund. I can't remember the exact term of the fund, but that's basically what it was. And people are like, oh, wow, this is gonna bring up a pro team to Kansas. Like, yeah, I hear you. But if you go and look at the percentage and look at the revenue that's coming in from Kansas, even though there's additional money right now because Missouri residents are betting in Kansas, so the revenues are actually up, it is still such a small number. I mean, I haven't looked at the last dollar amount, but I believe when the bill passed, the estimate was going to be like over 5 years. I mean, we're talking heist like less than $30, $40 million. I mean, like right. For a $2 billion stadium.
Right. And the unfortunate part was that I think a lot of the complaints on the Kansas side, and I certainly remember when it first came through, was, yeah, it may not seem like a lot of money from the professional sports side team, but like that's actual money that a lot of other states that have legalized sports that are actually used for roads and infrastructure and sure. Education. And it just felt like a missed opportunity for Kansas. And now here we are talking about it, a year and a half or so later, thinking, oh, maybe it actually goes towards something.
Yeah, I mean it helps. It certainly helps whether it's
top of the bucket.
Yeah, like it helps. It doesn't hurt. Look, if it ever came to be where the Chiefs truly were willing to, or the Royals were willing to jump ship to Kansas, I'm pretty sure Governor Laura Kelly would have plenty of bipartisan support to get either. I think that would be something that would unify people on the Kansas side. I don't think that would be a problem, and something tells me they would find the money. To be able to get one of those teams over. And I still deep down, if we were betting and there was an offshore book that let us bet on would the Royals or Chiefs be in Missouri 10 years from now, I still would be betting on the answer being yes. And I think there would still be like minus 300, if not more, that's actually the case, despite the news, of course, in the last couple of days about where things stand. And, it's not a 0% chance. And I think it was Mayor Quinn Lucas today said on 610, actually, just that, he thinks it's a 70, 75% chance the Royals stay in Missouri. But, I think it was in the 90s that the Chiefs stay in Missouri. And I agree with him on the football side. I don't believe the state of Missouri is letting a football team leave for the third time. I think that'd be a catastrophic thing for that state.
Yeah, and I also saw a tweet that you posted, What have you decided on what we're calling tweets in the?
Yeah, I go back and forth. Twitter, I go back and forth. It's still Twitter, okay?
But you're still sending a tweet. You're not sending an X. Conversation for another day. You even mentioned before we went on air that for all the different musical acts and different concerts and opportunities of major acts coming to Kansas City, obviously Taylor Swift is in town right now. Beyoncé, Ed Sheeran, a few other names. It's a 1% earnings tax to Kansas City, Missouri. And as you said in your tweet, it would be foolish to lose all of that. So the fact that Mayor Lucas is even willing to go on record of saying that it's somewhere in that 70 to 75% range, I certainly think is eye-opening. And
right.
I think a lot of I thought so because it felt like we had David Sampson on this podcast several months ago. And the idea of sort of this posturing aspect from ownership in regards to just where they could go, it's there because it's a play that they want to use. But until desperate measures actually come into play, more often than not, they just know how villainized they're going to be because of it. I just have a very difficult time. It's until you have a deadline, then there's not going to be a deal done. We've seen this in a lot of labor discussions and a lot of labor strikes in professional sports. Anyway, I think the stadium negotiation is very much the same thing.
No question. And we know January 23rd is that deadline to get it on the Jackson County ballot for the 3/8-cent sales tax extension. And so, yeah, they have till then. I still think by the end of the year, though, they got to be pretty close. But you're right, deadline spurs action. I don't know if they want to run it right up against the January 23rd date. I mean, they still have to campaign. Like, I think if it went to a ballot, it passes. But like, it's not a sure thing. And the Chiefs can't do anything until the Royals pick a dang site. And right. I don't really think Clay County is actually a real site. I understand the renderings look beautiful and hey, look, I would go to games there, whatever. I don't care. But, I don't believe it's a real site, because not to get too nerdy, I just don't think the math checks out on how high the sales tax would have to be in Clay County just because of population, for it to work. Whereas in Jackson County, it's just an extension of the existing 3/8-cent sales tax. And yeah, the money that comes in from that over 40 years is going to be greater because inflation and everything else, but like it's the same sales tax. And you know, I understand that I don't live in Jackson County. I've been completely transparent about that. If it was an opportunity in Johnson County that the Chiefs were coming here, I would have no problem voting for the identical 3/8 cent sales tax. I really wouldn't. And also, while I don't live in Jackson County, and neither do you, Heiss, I spend money in Jackson County, so I am paying a little bit of the sales tax. It's not the same as family, so I don't want to say that, but like this notion that nobody outside of Jackson County is ever contributing to the Jackson County sales tax is also kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. By the way, we had Rafael Esparza on a handful of weeks ago, longtime bookmaker. He's over at Doc Sports, ESPN Radio, Fox, a couple other places as well. And part of what he does is what we just talked about, actually setting odds on really anything you can name under the sun. So we might have to reach out to our pal Rafael.
Yeah, I'd love to hear his thoughts.
Yeah, it'd be, see if we might be able to get a little conversation going there as to whether or not it happens. But you're going on a fairly safe level that you don't expect either of these two teams to leave Jackson County by the time it's all said and done.
I really don't. I mean, I just for what you were saying. I mean, at some point, you know, there's certainly politics and leverage going on right now, and you know, break glass in case of emergency, I think, is Kansas. And that's, you know, the luxury we do have, whether you're on the Missouri side or the Kansas side, we're all in the KC Metro. We're not talking about them leaving the region, in my opinion. I know some people want to float out Nashville's keeping an eye on this or that, but like, you know, we're still in an area where fortunately with this current ownership group for both teams, they're not leaving the KC Metro area. And so even as much as people in Missouri, I'm sure would be upset to a certain extent that they would, you know, lose the pride of being able to say it's in KC Mo. I get it. I really do. We're talking about driving an extra 20 minutes in some cases, and it's still the Kansas City Chiefs, whether it's KCK or KC Mo or the KCK Royals. It's still the Kansas City Royals. So that's what I always have to keep in mind. Like, it's hard for me. Like, I'm not freaking out that we're losing these teams.
No. And right, they're not going to Nashville, although Nashville always seems to be the most popular destination.
Great city. I love Nashville.
Yeah.
They should get a team. It'd be great. They should get a baseball team, and I think they will.
Right. For a long time, Las Vegas was like the equivalent of Nashville for the city that teams would float out there. Be like, well, we could always go to Las Vegas. You know, there's all this excitement over there. Nashville's become like that new destination for negotiation, essentially. So
yeah.
plenty more to come. Fascinating conversation. Our guy Alex Gould is with us of 610 Sports Radio and also on BetQL. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, let's get into some of the actual matchups this week. A lot of good NFL games, some not so good. And also it's championship week in college football. I know Alex has been covering all of those over for 610 and also for BetQL on that betting show. We will take a short break. Be right back with Alex Gould. Stay with us. This is Benny and the Bets presented by PXG.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? This is Tucker Franklin from KC Sports Network. Thank you for listening to today's show. Make sure to follow us and subscribe for more Chiefs content wherever you get your podcast. If you want to support us further, you can shop the latest collection of KC Sports Network merch in partnership with Sandlot Goods. You can find hats, shirts, hoodies, and more at sandlotgoods.com. You can click the link in the description for more information.
Hey everyone, this is BJ Kissel. We'll get right back to the show. I just need a minute to share some important news, but as always, thank you for the support. The KCSN Foundation just launched our third annual Soul of KC holiday raffle and toy drive, and it benefits Operation Breakthrough's Christmas store. This campaign has raised more than $35,000 over the past 2 years, helping provide a better Christmas for kids in our community. And it's simple. We sell raffle tickets for a chance to win any of the more than 20 fantastic prizes that we have available this year. It's things like a Travis Kelce autographed full-size Chiefs helmet, or a Chris Jones autographed jersey, a George Karloftis jersey. How about a Patrick Mahomes autographed mini helmet? We've got gift cards to local restaurants like Capital Grill, Mission Taco Joint, or Third Street Social. You can find the full list of prizes on our social media accounts, or you can click the link in the description of this show. Again, all of the proceeds go to buying presents for Operation Breakthrough's Christmas store, and you can get tickets now through December 4th. Help us continue to help others, because that's what the KCSN Foundation is all about.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. The holiday season is just around the corner, and it may be a time of gift-giving or spending time together with your family. But during this time, you get to define what gift you might give to yourself. The holiday season can also be a time of extra added stress to your life. Whether it's extra stress from possible holiday travel or extra financial stress of gift giving during holiday season, or maybe just stress from being around family. So whether it's by starting therapy, going easy on yourself during tough moments, or treating yourself to a day of complete rest, remember to give yourself some love this holiday season. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time with no additional charge. In the season of giving, give yourself what you need with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/KCSN to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/KCSN.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Benny and the Bets, Ben Heisler, Alex Gold of 610 Sports Radio. You can catch him on Cody and Gold Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Central Time. Also, make sure you guys are checking out his work over on That Betting Show as well. You can catch him on BetQL. Basically, if there's a conversation surrounding betting of any sort, Alex is going to be involved in the fold. Also, he's got a great Discord channel that you guys should be checking out in addition to the one right here on KCSN. Where do you want to start first? I kind of want to work our way backwards a little bit with the Sunday night game with Chiefs and Packers and maybe work our way to the rest of the slate and then any college plays for championship weekend that you have your eye on. And the only reason I want to start on the Kansas City side is so much of this matchup, I think if you would have asked me about it a couple weeks ago, the fact that Kansas City is less than a touchdown favorite on the road against Green Bay, I think would have surprised a lot of people. But if you go and look at what the Packers, in particular what Jordan Love has done over the last couple weeks, the numbers have been really, really impressive. Their defense is finally starting to put some pressure on the quarterback, and we've seen that shown in the betting markets as well. Alex, this game opened up a DraftKings sportsbook as Kansas City is a 7-point favorite on the road. They were getting 81% of the bets, but only 59% of the money, according to the splits from Beeson and DraftKings. Now we're seeing a very different story. That line has moved down to 6. It has stayed firm at 6. And we've actually seen the total go up just a tad from 42 to 42 and a half. So let's start kind of working our way in from this game. Were you surprised at all at the move towards Green Bay and the immediate move towards Green Bay here?
Yeah, you know, not as much based on kind of what you were saying as well, just because, yes, a month ago I would have been shocked, but Green Bay's playing a lot better football. They got a chance to sneak in as a playoff team. You know, this is a very young Green Bay team, and now they're kind of trying to figure things out. I think they have, you know, they offensively in particular, you know, they've gotten Jaden Reed really involved. I really like him, by the way. We can talk about if he's got a little chest injury right now, but I think he's been actually a key to why offensively they've been a lot better. Yes, Jordan Love has also just gotten way more reps. I mean, yes, he's been in the league for a while behind Aaron Rodgers, but he really hadn't played a whole lot. We forget that at times, and I think we're starting to see him come through. I'm not saying that he's in that group of, oh man, this is going to be a quarterback that we're going to talk about has a chance to win an MVP someday. No, but he's not bottom four anymore, which is where I think a lot of people had him before the season started. And, you know, now he, to me, has put himself right in the middle of the pack, probably, of quarterbacks in the NFL. And so I think Matt LaFleur deserves a ton of credit for what he's been able to do. And for me, the defense is getting healthier for the Packers. And so I think that's why, coupled with still people questioning the Chiefs offense, even though they're coming off a nice performance against the Raiders. I mean, I'll tell you, I love the fact the line went down to -6 from 7, and it's under a touchdown. I do like Kansas City in this spot on the road now that we're just talking about 6 points needed, because the one thing I know is going to travel to Lambeau is the Chiefs defense. You know, we could be skeptical on whether or not offensively they can do what they did for really three quarters of the game against the Raiders. But I know that defense is going to be there. I'm not worried about the first two drives where Aiden O'Connell carved them up. I think in game, there's been nobody better at adjusting than Steve Spagnuolo when teams maybe do come out with a look in their scripted plays. There's been nobody better. And I really think that the Chiefs will be able to get after Jordan Love in this game Sunday night.
So that's part of the reason you brought up the defense. I couldn't agree with you more, and the numbers back that up especially. According to Evan Abrams over at Action Network, who we also had on the show a couple weeks ago, if you're going to bet on the Chiefs and you're looking for the most EV possible play, Chiefs second half unders, 11-0 over the course of the year, fourth quarter unders, 11-0. You know, the only reason I didn't end up taking the Raiders team total in the second half last week out was that it was 7.5. I'm thinking, all right, this is still a team that put up some points in the first half, especially if Kansas City gets it going. Maybe there's a backdoor touchdown there, and all of a sudden they've only given up three touchdown goes ahead and screws it up. But when it comes to the second half numbers, you're right on the adjustment side. It continues to be profitable, and against a young quarterback, yeah, he's had some experience in the league, but it's still going up against a defense that continues to make the right adjustments at the right time. This is going to be a very difficult one for me to pass up on. It's a play that I like in the actual game itself to go once again to that well with the second half under.
Yeah, I hear you on that trend. Trends, and we always talk, I think I've talked with you and you and I, whether it was on air or off air, just like, don't blindly bet trends. But man, it's week 13, and we've got an undefeated trend. I have no problem the rest of the season just taking the second half under. I'll take the L whenever it happens because I don't think it's going to go 17-0. All right, but you know, I'll take the L. Maybe Sunday night's the night where we all lose, but it was 22.5 second half against the Raiders, and I think they scored 20 points combined in that second half of the Chiefs-Raiders game. And so that is a trend that I have no problem just blindly betting the rest of the season based off of the Chiefs' defense. Now, unless this, you know, does this Chiefs' offense really start to figure it out, and we're like, well, even with the defense, they're still putting up themselves 20 points in the second half or something, okay, that's a different story. But I just think defensively right now that this defense is going to keep you in play for that second half trend, which is, it is remarkable to be sitting at 11-0 in week 13.
Yeah, and the other thing too about this year's team is that they're one of the best in covering against the number this year, which I think surprises a lot of people. Last couple of years when the offense was humming, this was a team that really struggled to cover the number because of so many backdoor covers, because of so many issues where they would let teams hang around for far too long. But this year they've slammed the door in the second half, and it's part of the reason that they've been so good against the number. Do you see that trend continuing throughout the course of the year, where this is just a team that you can feel comfortable with taking as a, you know, a 6-point favorite on the road against teams that are even, you know, improving like Green Bay?
It is kind of funny because, as you allude to, like a year ago and multiple years, it's always like, oh, the Chiefs, they're winning, but they're not blowing anybody out. They don't cover against anybody. And it was with the offense, you know, being one of the best, if not the best in football, but the defense wasn't there. Now we flip the script. They've got a top three defense in football. Their offense, I think, is back in the top 10 now after their performance against the Raiders, and they're covering. So they're a more balanced football team, I guess we could say, and that's what's leading to it. I also just think the books, you know, right now they're a little tricky to figure out. Before, the numbers were just so massive in these games, and that's a big reason why. And now, I mean, how many times last year, I'd have to look, how many times last year were the Chiefs, you know, under the, you know, 6-point favorites, under the key number of 7? I don't think it was all that often. And now we're starting to see that play out a lot more. Of course, Sunday night, as you said, it's down to 6. You know, the Eagles game, of course, they didn't cover, but they were 2.5-point favorites or whatever in that game. And we know they'll be favorites the rest of the way. You know, against the Bills, I doubt Kansas City's going to be, an 8 or 9-point favorite against Buffalo coming off the bye. I don't think so. At least I would take Buffalo if it's anything over a 7, I can already tell you, despite the Von Miller news and everything that's going on. So I just think the number is lower than we've had it before. And a lot of that is, when people see the offense isn't as good, but they forget that this defense is allowing them to cover in most cases.
As far as props go, we're starting to see a few of these numbers start to trickle out. Full transparency, I was buying the squeaky wheel narrative for Marquez Valdes-Scantling last week. He had one catch for -1 yards. So didn't exactly work out the way that I...
Hey, man, I was on Richie James in his first game back thinking they'd give him a little touchdown. I was at an anytime touchdown bet. They had a goal line situation out there twice, and they didn't do anything. Maybe they're setting that up.
Yeah. And of course, you know, this will be the week where he ends up catching the first touchdown. The week before, I talked about this on the show, Alex. It was the first time that I've ever experienced a bad beat three different times on a single play. With Marcus Valdes-Scantling anytime touchdown, the alternate line on receiving yards at 40. Oh. And then there was something else. Oh, and longest reception at 12 and
a half. Oh, you would have hit all three.
I would have hit all three on that final play, went right through his hands. And yeah,
that's sickening. That's disgusting. I'll tell you though, I know you just said like 30 seconds ago, like watch him get a touchdown. I actually do like a little sprinkle on MVS to get a touchdown against his old team on Sunday night. Like I actually do believe going back to Lambeau, he's still getting a lot of snaps. This was interesting. I see what you're at on this because I talked about this locally on 610 the other day. Like everybody was saying, oh, MVS is out of the mix and he's not getting any snaps. And he had the second fewest snaps of any wide receiver. He had 32 snaps. Richie James had less. After that, everybody else had more. He was two snaps away from having the second most wide receivers. Saying that he's out of the mix, like I still think he's going to get a lot of snaps on Sunday night against the Packers. So despite him being frustrating, I think he's 7-1 for any time touchdown on Sunday night, depending on the book. I actually am going to have a few bucks on MVS to get a touchdown.
Yeah, and he's right now at DraftKings, for purposes of this show, he's at 6-1, so still pretty good number. They also have the best odds that I've seen so far for first touchdown of the game at 28-1. I think at this point, when it comes to MVS, you want to throw down a little bit of pizza money each week in hopes that this is finally going to be the week that, and honestly, you might as well just turn it into like a same gamer where longest reception, anytime touchdown, go over the alternative line for receiving yards, like maybe over 25. And then you just have, we put $5 down and maybe turn it into like a 40-1, 50-1 play. And you're like, okay, I don't have to bet on MVS the rest of the season. Yeah. Go with INVs.
Yeah, I don't hate that logic at all. Actually, that's not a bad way to approach it. And like otherwise, wide receiver, I'm sure most people watching are thinking, wow, you got to look at Rashee Rice because everybody loves what he's doing right now. And yeah, his first 100-yard game. And I had someone and are familiar with over at BetQL, Dan Karpik, on my betting show earlier this week. I know you guys know each other. And we were talking about Rashee Rice, where his number is around, what, this week, 47, I think, 47.
Something like that.
And the BetQL model, now this is wild to me, has the projection for Rashee Rice. Jeff, I'm going to let you guess. What do you think the number is for Rice on their model?
That's a really good question because their model, by the way, has been terrific this year. And also shout out to our buddy Dan, who has I think he's gone over maybe 100 units this year in NFL prop bets. So he's
the props have been really good.
I'm gonna guess because I remember one week like I was looking at Bears prop bets and Darnell Mooney was projected for maybe like 25.5 yards and their model had him for like 120. So I'm gonna guess Rashee Rice is projected for 90 yards and a touchdown.
I mean, that would still be impressive. 115 is what the model said. And so, my goodness, I'm not saying the model's 100%, but that's nuts to me. I mean, thinking about that, man, his number's at 47.5. And we know you can find some alt lines. I don't know the exact odds, but let's say 80-plus, 90-plus. I'm sure it's 3-1 or something like that. That's interesting to keep an eye on if you're really a believer that the Chiefs actually have seen the light and are going to continue to feed Rashee Rice. I'm still a little skeptical if with Tony back in the mix, if they're willing to continue feeding Rice. I hope they are.
Any other lines, any other props for this particular game that you have your eye on?
Yeah, other than the couple we talked about, player prop-wise, I do think on Sunday Night Football, kind of piggybacking off the Rashee Rice take, I think Patrick Mahomes is going to have a huge game. I really do. I think he's in the best mood and the happiest he's been all season as well. Andy Reid said Rashee Rice is Patrick friendly. Like, I think that was a huge development for Patrick Mahomes. I know statistically the Bears game was better, but Cody and I, who do the show locally here on 610, we both said we thought he's coming off his best game, even though statistically Patrick Mahomes. I just think the throw to Kelsey decisions. Now maybe more comfortable than ever with Rashee Rice. So, looking at, depending on the book, number-wise for Mahomes, I really like his over 1.5 touchdown passes and over his passing number in this game against the Packers.
Okay. Like that play on Mahomes. And by the way, if you are in search of Rashee Rice alternate receiving yards, over on DraftKings, let's say you want to go 80-plus yards, you can get that at plus 360.
Okay.
Over 90 yards, plus 550. You want to go up to a buck plus 800 for over 100 receiving.
Let's ladder it. Let's just ladder it.
Ladder. 110 plus 12 to 1. So go ahead and if you got a free bet and you're buying well model, maybe go ahead and ladder that bad boy to kingdom come, if you will. Good stuff there when it comes to some possibilities for Kansas City. What about for the rest of the slate? You know, I'll kind of tease it and, you know, pun sort of intended. The line for Kansas City, I know that you're on them at -6, but man, like, considering Mahomes' numbers straight up over the course of his career, considering his success in primetime and at night and on the road, like, everything just sets up so well. Mahomes is 15-2 straight up in his last 17 night games. So I'm almost looking at this line going, this feels like the perfect opportunity to tease Kansas City. This is why I don't even have to worry about any sort of cover. Is there a team you like that might be worth teasing with them? And keep in mind, you know, for those that are curious about teasers and trying to figure out where to go with that, the rule of thumb doesn't necessarily have to be the rule that you always follow, but you want to try and get underdogs to go past both 3 and 7. And for favorites, you want to try and get them past 7 and 3 down to a number less than that. So when you're looking at the board this week, is there another team that you like that you might want to consider pairing with Kansas City? You're not a teaser.
There were a couple that stood out. You know, Thursday Night Football, frankly, was what I considered as well. Even, you know, teasing the Cowboys down from, at one point you can give me 8.5. I know it was as high as 9.5. And so that was a team that was kind of interesting. And if you're looking just at the Sunday slate, or at least the rest of the slate, I should say, this game I know scares a lot of people, and just blindly betting it. The Chargers -5.5 against New England, like, it's the Chargers. We know the story with them. But if you're looking at the Patriots, who might be the worst team in football, and they're a complete mess, bad enough that they kicked Mahomes off of Monday Night Football because that's how bad the Patriots are. That's one where I wouldn't mind it. Now, you cross 0, and I know you're paying for a half point that you don't really need necessarily, but it's 5.5 in some spots. You could tease that down, even if, you know, a 5.5 point teaser, let alone a 6 point teaser. So you could, you know, you could do a 5 point teaser, tease the Chiefs down to -1, and then just tease the Chargers down to a half point. You know, essentially we're looking at 2 pickups.
Yeah. I like that play quite a bit. I think Tennessee is possibly in play if you can still find them at +1.5.
Tease them up. Okay.
Tease them up a little bit. I honestly prefer to tease up underdogs when I just feel like they're in a really good advantageous spot in the team that I almost feel like can win outright. Tennessee, this is a Mike Vrabel special, you know, short dog at home. Colts have been playing better, but now Jonathan Taylor going to be missing some time. Zach Moss has done a nice job outside of when Taylor has missed some time. But I think Levis is starting to figure things out. Henry had a nice game last week. That might be another team worth considering. And then, of course, Pittsburgh as well. At home, Arizona historically under Kyler Murray has been really good at covering the spread on the road, been terrible against the spread at home. So I think those are another couple lines that you might be willing to consider as well. One other game that I'm curious to get your perspective on, then we can get into some of our best before talking a little college. I was initially surprised to see the 49ers open as slight favorites against Philadelphia, given everything from last week where Hurts looked great, Josh Allen looked great. It was just a dynamic game. And then sure enough, in Philadelphia, you have a lot of money immediately going towards San Francisco to the point where it's now gone up from 1.5. One book has it at 2.5, but most books right now sitting at 3. I got in on San Francisco early at -2 and feel pretty good about that line.
Yeah,
I think the 49ers come in and the Eagles... I'm trying to remember which analyst had talked about it before, Alex. Maybe you can refresh my memory. But there's a lot of last year's Vikings to this year's Eagles team where they've just had the right bounce a lot of the time. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, the Eagles are still a very talented team, but I would take San Francisco this year any day over them just because I think they're a little bit more physical on both sides of the ball. I trust their offensive line a little bit more this year, and that's saying a lot considering Philadelphia's offensive line is one of the best in football. I just think they're a more complete team, and the Eagles have just had some lucky bounces, and I can't help but wonder if this is an opportunity for San Francisco where, given all the money that's gone to them initially, a lot of sharp money going to them, feels like that's the side to be on this week.
So I love this game. I really do. I can't wait for Sunday afternoon, and I agree with you on some of that. You know, I wish I got the Niners at 2. I have them at 2.5. As you said, there is still one book out there where you can still grab it at 2.5. And so my thought on this game, you're right on the comparison that you referenced for someone of Vikings. That's interesting. I hadn't heard that, but I'll tell you this. I think the Eagles, much like the Chiefs from a couple of years ago, they do just find ways to win, right? And sometimes great teams just do that. You can't always explain it, whether you think it's a bounce or not, but like they just find ways to win. That's the credit to Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, veteran team in some areas. Like there's no doubt they do find ways. You're like, how did they pull that off? For me, the reason why I like the Niners in this game on the Eagles, and it's because they're in the middle of a grueling stretch. We know they played Monday night against Kansas City, came away with the win, short week. Then they play a tough, great overtime game against the Buffalo Bills. And now this game that's turned out to be a huge rivalry, right? There's a lot of animosity between the Eagles and the Niners going back to the playoff game, some off-season comments from Deebo Samuel and really doubling down a little bit this week from multiple players. So I think there's just a lot of buildup. I don't doubt that it's going to be a great game. The Niners, on the flip side, they're healthy. That's the key, like not just for any team, but specifically the Niners. Like McCaffrey's good to go. Trent Williams, Deebo Samuel, they once again look like the team the first 5 weeks where everybody was saying, oh, yeah, this is the best team in football. You don't want to play them. They're back to that, in my opinion. And so we can talk come playoff time if you believe Brock Purdy can get it done if suddenly Debo's not available. Right now he's available. In this game, even on the road, I really like the 49ers. I just think the Eagles are kind of running into a team that's playing as good as anybody.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So we're both on the same side there. For what it's worth, Philadelphia 7-2-2 against the spread. That's the best cover percentage in the NFL this year. But if you look at margin of victory and against the spread plus minus, the 49ers have trounced them. 49ers have the second best margin of victory in the NFL. 12.7, the only team better this year has been Dallas, and a lot of those big blowout wins have come at home. But against the spread plus minus, 49ers are up at plus 5.4 compared to just plus 1.6 for Philadelphia. So when they have won and when they have covered, they have done so in very convincing fashion. All right, before we get into some of the college football plays for this weekend, any other props, any other plays on the board that you were considering for this week in the NFL?
Yeah, I was trying to weigh, where were Jacksonville? They've actually been very good. Jacksonville's been very good against the spread. And some opportunities there where they're 8.5-point favorites against Cincinnati. We know Jake Browning is the quarterback now for Cincy. This is another game I mentioned as a teaser opportunity maybe.
Yeah.
But in this particular game, Trevor Lawrence and Calvin Ridley got something going on now. That they had it early. It went away. I think it's not a secret that's when this offense struggled. They went to London. They figured things out for 4 weeks. And then they came back and they struggled, and people kind of jumped off the Calvin Ridley, Trevor Lawrence bandwagon. I'm trying to pull up the exact latest numbers for Calvin Ridley. But I think that duo is now hitting on everything again. It's the Monday night game. I don't see the latest number. Maybe you have it at DraftKings. But I'm going to be on some Calvin Ridley props at any time touchdown. And unless his number is, in the 70s or something, if it's anywhere 65 or less, probably going to hit the over for Calvin Ridley. This is a number he's been able to hit. And I just think right now it's someone that Trevor Lawrence is really targeting. And I like what I'm seeing from Trevor Lawrence, where 3 weeks ago, a lot of people were saying, oh, this is going to be a problem for Jacksonville. And now I think they're going to get hot. And I think, when we look at the AFC conversation, there's a chance the Jags actually end up as the 2 seed behind Kansas City.
Yeah, and by the way, to your point about Ridley, I would jump on that line now. DraftKings has it at 56.5.
Okay.
So I think that's a very good play as well if you're looking from the anytime touchdown perspective, as I tried to pull that up in real time as we're recording today. Not sure if I'm seeing it actually on DraftKings. They may have taken some of their anytime touchdown numbers down, but I'm seeing it at plus 160 right now at a different book. So there are some very intriguing plays certainly on the board for this game in particular. So you're going to want to make sure that you're paying attention to that. In fact, DraftKings does not have anytime touchdown lines as we are recording, but maybe by the time you're checking out this show, things are a little bit different. All right, really quickly, as we head into the college football championship weekend, certainly Oregon and Washington, that was a line that caught my attention heading into Friday night. The Ducks, 9.5-point favorite. On the road, or not necessarily on the road, but in the championship game, you have a couple other intriguing matchups: Oklahoma State and Texas. The Longhorns getting 15.5 at some books. I guess let's just kind of go through a few of them. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you're eyeing, and if any particular matchup stands out.
So actually, the ACC title game is interesting to me, right? We're talking about Louisville and Florida State, and a lot of the talk this week has been, you know, does Florida State deserve to get in if, you know, they're undefeated, but it's a backup quarterback? Is it giving Georgia, whoever the one seed, a bye week? And, you know, all this. I personally think it sorts itself out. I like Louisville in this game, not only to cover to win outright, but here's how I'm betting it. I think a lot of people will just say, oh, I'll take Louisville plus 2.5, which I will, and I have. But then you say, hey, I'm going to take the money line for Louisville. I think there's a better way to bet it. So right now, Louisville's plus 104, 108, depending on the book you're looking at on the money line. But there's two-way betting options for Florida State, yes or no, to make the college football playoff. The one thing I believe we all can agree on is if Florida State loses, there's no way they're getting in. If they win, you still have an outside chance that the committee says, yeah, we're not putting you in with a backup quarterback. And it's plus 118 for Florida State not to get in. So instead of betting Louisville on the money line, I'm going to be betting Florida State not to make the college football playoff because I feel like I have two ways to win the bet. One is they just lose. And if they win, it's not completely dead. There's a chance the committee says, look, we know you went undefeated, and this might suck for you, but we're not letting Georgia play a backup quarterback. Sorry, we're not doing that. So I love that bet. I think that's how you approach Florida State.
That's a really, really insightful play and a really, really sharp play. Are you going to be going under on Michigan-Iowa this week?
Dude, I have to. 7 straight, right? Iowa games have gone under. And I think this is like a 28-3 game or 24-7 game between Michigan and Iowa in Indianapolis. We know Iowa just can't score. I'll be on the under out of principle, frankly. That's just kind of where I'm at. So yes, that's the only bet. Other than that game's going to suck. So I'll have the under, a disgusting watch. Although I absolutely loved Iowa, Nebraska last week. That was just beautiful. Loved that game.
Yeah, and just watching in the ways in which Nebraska just melted down, it's gotten to a point now where Nebraska is losing games, and I'm an Indiana fan, so I have plenty of time as well. Indiana and Missouri, I kind of felt for a long time where, you know, what's the expression where they're like their souls that are meant to be together because of all the humiliating and awful and pathetic ways that they would find ways to lose games. Like, Missouri is taking that bad juju and just punted it over to Nebraska. And now, that's the team that Indiana still has it. Nebraska in particular.
Well, you might have seen, I can't remember who put it out, but it's basically some metric, basically unluckiest team or whatever. And it was a graphic that came out. It was like, even though Scott Frost is gone, still Nebraska was number one. And they had 5 wins. They should have 8 or something like that. KU was in the top 10 as well. And so they're still, quote unquote, the unluckiest team in college football.
Yeah. Although Indiana, I feel like they got lucky today with Coach Siggs coming from James Madison.
Look at Indiana being able to pay $20 million to watch a coach leave. How about Indiana?
Listen. Mark Cuban sold that big point for the Mavericks.
Is that what he needed to do it for? He said, hey, I got to back
it up. I don't like the offers. He's going to go fund that NIL fund for Indiana. Alex, before we let you go, obviously a million places that people can hear you, Sixth Sense Sports Radio with Cody and Gold from 10 to 2, as well as that betting show. Where can they hear you? Where can they find you? Where can everybody go and consume the Goldilocks for each?
Yeah, man, I appreciate having me on the show. It's been a ton of fun. We definitely got to do this again. Yeah, Sixth Sense Sports Radio, 10 to 2 during the week with Cody Tapp, Cody and Gold. That betting show Wednesday nights on 610. And then if you want more of a national conversation, I'm on BetQL and CBS Sports Radio Saturday mornings from 9 to 11, I guess, except this Saturday. I'm heading up to Green Bay. We were talking about you and your Lambo leap in the old video, by the way, today on the show, and whether or not somebody can do a Lambo leap. But I saw Heist do one 8 years ago, and I said it didn't turn out well, so I'm saying no, I don't think I could do it.
Full transparency, I made the Lambo leap the second time. I just didn't recognize. Yeah, well, Carrington didn't get that on video. Or if he did, he decided to share the one that was much funnier.
Of course.
Everything's for content. Yeah, the first time I tried to do the Lambo leap, did not judge actually how high it was. Fell down, fell on my face. You can probably find it somewhere on Twitter or on YouTube. But the second time, I did make the Lambo leap. So, erroneous.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks so much for hopping on.
Thanks.